This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
It's absolutely essential that we get our kids back into classroom for in-person learning.
We want to reopen the schools. Everybody wants it. The moms want it. The dads want it. The kids want it. It's time to do it.
The president tweeted out this morning, threatening schools nationwide that he'll try to cut funding if they refuse to reopen on time.
So we're very much going to put pressure on governors and everybody else to open the schools. Open your schools in the fall.
It's great to learn because knowledge is power.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
President Trump has made clear, and it's backed by science, that it's really important to get students back into school.
I feel very strongly we need to do whatever we can to get the children back to school.
I want to make it very, very clear that the guidance that CDC continues to put out for schools K through 12 and higher is intentional for reopening and keeping our schools open. What is not the intent of CDC's guidelines is to be used as a rationale to keep schools closed.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
It's all about creating division. They literally say it on state TV. It's coming for you next.
Democratic cities are in chaos right now. Is this what you want from Joe Biden? And they're taking down the statues. And
crime is rising as they defund police.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad.
What do Democrats have to offer us? Failed experiments like CHOP, failed cities like Chicago, New York City, where you've had for 3 weeks a many-fold increase in shootings. This is what leftist policies have gotten us.
Unchained and unstoppable.
This guy's whole idea of America on its own.
No. Lie down before you hurt yourself.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. We'll take a lot of calls this hour. But first I wanted to continue with what we were talking about at the end of the last hour. Guy was calling and saying he thought that you should if you have a problem at a college, you should write a paper for your English class on Moby Dick and about how Moby Dick, the great white whale, was a symbol of white supremacy. And that got me going on a story that I just picked up today. I think it's from American Greatness, Purifying Publishing. The cultural commissars come for conservative books, and one of them that they're coming for is To Kill a Mockingbird. And this is a Denver school librarian says in one of the library magazines that you can only use To Kill a Mockingbird by using excerpts or through a critical consciousness lens. I was not aware that they had critical consciousness lenses.
Can I pick those up at my ophthalmologist?
You need a prescription. You can't just walk and get in those at a bank. You have to get a prescription, which would include lessons on white saviorism. Mm-hmm. That was a word I'd never heard before. White saviorism, and the how about this one, Grace? The weaponization of white woman's tears. Have you ever heard of that? Weaponizing white women's tears.
Okay, I haven't heard of that, Howie. But the ironic thing about white saviorism is that the biggest people who suffer from white saviorism are liberals. All these white girls who are screaming at black police officers that they're, you know, they're the problem. Those people are white saviors. They think they're trying to help so badly that they're actually inflicting hurt on others. These movies are not the problem, or these books. And by the way, Howie, in my list of movies that
you came up with a list here. Why don't you?
No, I didn't come up with it. Glamour came up with it. Glamour
of all places.
Yes. And I want to tell you what they had to say about To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
They talk about it and they say it has an important place in American cultural history. But should it be such a central source text for so many non-black Americans as we try to navigate our country's painful past? The story focuses on...
Wait a second. Isn't it about the painful past of America? They're going to lynch a black guy for a crime he didn't commit?
But here's the thing. it gives white people too much credit, and that's where it falters. The story focuses on a white man who takes great risks to defend an innocent black man,
Atticus,
who has been wrongly accused of raping a white woman. While it's worthwhile to tell stories about a righteous person living among evil, the reality is that white people's primary reaction to black men being wrongly accused of rape in American history has been mob violence, not defense. As a culture, we pay a price for retelling our most shameful stories in a way that makes people who are the exception look like the rule.
Do you think it would have been as successful as it was if Atticus had just led the lynch mob? And like the book would have been about like 15 pages long. It would have been a pamphlet.
But how, you know how they start this article about white saviorism? You probably have already realized that a lot of the entertainment you enjoyed when you were younger was racist, sexist, or homophobic. Ready for the next level of trying to unbleep your pop culture consumption? A lot of the movies you thought were actively anti-racist actually stumble in their attempt to deliver an anti-racist message.
I kept telling my mom Toy Story was inappropriate for me.
It was part of, Taylor, it's part of the problem. And some other things, some other movies on here.
How about Spartacus?
Not Spartacus, The Help.
That was about slaves.
The Help is on here. The Blind Side, which I already mentioned. Freedom Riders, which I believe features Hillary Swank.
Freedom Riders, that weren't Freedom Riders in the civil rights movement?
Yes, but I think this one is about a school in the inner city.
Oh.
Green Book, which is a fabulous movie. I was just talking to our VIP about it. I watched it on a plane back from Palm Beach. It made me cry. It is such a powerful movie. I encourage everyone to watch it. And the man who starred in it, the black man who starred in it, won Best Actor that year at the Oscars. So now we're not supposed to watch the movie that this man won an Oscar for because it's too feel good. Okay. It makes white people feel too good.
Well, do you know what? They've got a book all lined up to take To Kill a Mockingbird's place. It's called Internment. It's by a woman, I guess a woman, named Samira Ahmed. And it is about, quote, a teen sent to a U.S. internment camp for Muslim American people. Sounds very realistic. There are a lot of Muslim internment camps.
When did this take place? What year?
Between 2016 and 2024.
According to Kirkus Reviews, their review, taking on Islamophobia and racism in a Trump-like America.
Oh,
so you were right. In a Trump-like America.
Trump-like? So is this...
Trump-like. Trump-dash-like America.
Is this fiction or is this...
No, it's fiction. It's fiction. Booklist says, very real. Very frank picture of hatred and ignorance. So I guess there are Muslim American internment camps. That's what they're saying. It's very real. Very frank. Publishers Weekly, an unsettling and important book for our times.
Can I give you a movie that's on the white savior list that you are not to watch any further?
What's that?
Lincoln.
Lincoln? He's a
Do you think that movie's very real? Does that ring true?
Well, I mean, his statue is coming down in Park Square. Okay, you want some new books? You want some new books that are available for your summer beach reading, Grace?
Sure.
How about Burning by Megha Manjumdar? It's about an Indian girl who's falsely accused of terrorism and turns for help to a trans woman.
See, here's the thing.
Portrayed by Halle Berry.
What are the chances of that even happening?
I don't care if people have other books that they want to recommend, but now they're saying, Howie, that they also don't want us to watch the movie Hidden Figures. And Taylor, you can explain what that movie's about, because this is a movie they don't want you to watch.
I saw it a few years ago, but I believe it's about Apollo 11 and some of the women that did the math to get the rocket launched to the moon.
Some of
so
the
that,
black
so
women.
That we could, yes, black women. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I don't see color, Grace. I just watched
I know,
the movie.
You're more politically correct, but I'm just saying it's a movie that uplifts black women, and there's not a lot of movies like that, and they don't want you to watch that. Because here's why. There's a scene in the movie, according to Glamour, there's a scene in the movie where a man rips down the bathroom sign that separates blacks from whites and says, we all pee the same color here. And it's like it's supposed to be a good part of the movie.
That's white saviorism, isn't it?
And they say that gives that man too
later.
Much credit. And
see
in real
later.
Life, that never happened.
How are we supposed to be part of the change if we're not allowed to be part of the change?
You know, if you're doing a Hollywood production and really writing a novel that's going to get any kind of readership too, you have to have some likable characters in it. I mean, even the when they did Black Mass, they made Whitey care about his son,
which Howie was quick to point out
didn't happen. But you know,
that's called Whitey saviorism.
They had to do it. That's literary. That's literary license.
Howie, you know what I'm shocked is not on this list, and I'm scared to say it because I don't want to send the mob after this movie.
Snow White.
Remember the Titans, because remember the friendship between left side, strong side. There's a black player and there's a white player, and they become best friends. And you know, I don't know. They break barriers in that movie, and that movie's going to get canceled.
Look, I got another movie. I got another book for you to read here. Don't forget those movies. My Mother's House by Francesca Monplaisir, a novel that takes on, quote, the legacy of colonialism and, quote, the abuse of male power.
Is there a chapter on Hawaiian shirts?
I'm sure the male oppressor is wearing a Hawaiian shirt. It's a legacy of colonialism, as we all know, just in the last week. So, you know, if you've ever read the New York Times book review, you know, sometimes I would get it down and it would be at the club before the club closed down in Florida. And I would just pick it up and I would go over the reviews just for laughs on Sunday afternoon and just see how many paragraphs you had to go down to get a reference to Trump.
Yeah.
Usually about three, mm-hmm. four, three or four, but sometimes the first paragraph. In this age of Trump.
But how disappointed would you be if you're one of these actors in these movies and this was a big role for you and now they're telling, or even if you're one of these authors and now people aren't going to be able to read your book because it doesn't fit the mold. And also, what about movies that depict slavery or anything? How are people going to learn about things if we have to, if everything's canceled? Isn't that part of the problem if everyone grows up and thinks that none of this stuff existed?
Armistead, another great movie about slavery. Yeah.
I mean, To Kill a Mockingbird is probably the way most people learn about what a lynching was all about.
Right.
Right. So, and it's done in a very entertaining. I mean, it intrigues you. It keeps your interest. It's an interesting way, I should say.
And Howie, let's just say that the main character who tries to defend the black man was not black. Was not white. Let's say he was black. Then the author would be in trouble for trying to see through the eyes of someone who he cannot see through. Everything is getting so complicated. You can't do right by the mob. You just can't.
Yeah. And incidentally, when they finally printed the follow-up to To Kill a Mockingbird, Harper Lee never wanted it published, but it showed Atticus Fitch, her father figure, as just kind of a closet racist. And of course, they hated that book too.
He never wanted it published, and now he might get his wish because be ripped from the shelf.
Truman Capote basically wrote it. It was her high school buddy, and I think he wrote most of the book.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. They have they have signed copies by her and Truman Capote for, you know, no one ever really pointed
another
out
another reason for the book to be canceled because a man wrote it instead of a woman.
Yeah, she's like a little Mike Barnacle-esque there, taking credit for something she didn't read.
I'm Howie Carr.
They call him the Trash Man, but we'll call him Captain Howie Carr.
This is Alex from East Bridgewater, Mass.
This is Ann in Saco, Maine.
This is John Zuko from Hampton, Mass. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
Unlike home security systems that are so complicated you never use them, SimpliSafe was designed to be easy while protecting your whole home 24/7. Head to SimpliSafeHowie.com and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Joe Biden actually debate President Trump?
No. Ultimately, no.
59% say no.
Okay. Keeps going up a little bit every hour. 844-500-4242.
I'm sure everybody hopes he will.
Oh.
But how many people think?
Oh, am I keeping my fingers crossed for that? Talk about must-see TV. Dan, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, Howie, I just wanted to tell you something. Did you hear about Black Lives Matter up at UMass?
No, what happened?
Oh, they went over to the government building and they threw a lasso around a life-size statue of John Oliver. It took them 8 minutes to figure out it was really John Oliver.
I don't even know if that's a joke or not. John Oliver used to be a professor at UMass, and then he became a rep and a senator and then a congressman. And he was lackluster in all of his roles. He introduced Stanley Rosenberg to the political arena. Stanley Rosenberg followed in his footsteps, although he didn't get to Congress, but he did get to total disgrace with his husband. Thanks for the call, Dan. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Howie. I live in on the border of Vermont and Hampshire, and very strong Trump supporter, and I have a lot of friends and family that are as well. It pains me to think that I won't even be able to buy a ticket to see him in Portsmouth because they'll all be bought up on TikTok.
But they're not bought, John. They're not bought. I mean, you just apply for the ticket, and they send it to you. And it's as Ronna McDaniel said today, it's first come, first serve.
It was in Oklahoma too, and they bought out a bunch of those tickets, and that made it look like there were a whole bunch less.
Yeah.
People sitting in the stands.
I know, but what I'm saying is, I think if you just go there and you order the tickets and you sign the release saying you're not going to sue them if you get COVID-19, I think they'll just send you the tickets. And it's just, again, it's if they send out 100,000 tickets, it's the first 10,000 people or however many there are get in. I think you should still try to get the seats, John, and see if you can get the tickets. And if you want to take a chance of getting in, you can go over there.
Here's my other problem, and we have all talked about this, is that we continue to hear these polls and how the president, and not a single person has ever called, texted, or emailed me.
Right.
And on Fox's websites, et cetera. And it really kills me to hear these polls when I know there's a bunch of us.
You know, John, they accused the Republicans by wanting to ask for voter ID as a voter suppression. Those polls are Democrat voter suppression. They're trying to depress you. John, let me ask you something. Even if they called you, would you tell them the truth?
To be honest with you, anybody but Fox, I would.
You would?
I would just hang up. But Fox is killing me. They actually have, put out these polls that say that the president's behind, and
I know.
Not a single person has ever called me.
I know. That's why the president tweeted out over to, I think on Sunday, saying, Fox is turning except for a few shows, and especially on the weekends, and watch OANN and Newsmax. I concur, especially Newsmax. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Mark, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Howie. I was talking to your call screen. I think it was Christian. He was talking about, I heard the radio the other morning. Some guy was there, I guess, made a statement that traffic lights are racist.
Yeah, I just looked it up. I can't believe it. I mean, this is crazier than the white saviorism. But go ahead, talk about it.
Well, it's just interesting. Do it. Here we are trying to say everyone's equal, and all of a sudden we got people making statements like this. Come on, how are you supposed to stop all this tension if you're going to have people making dumb statements like that?
Yeah, this is something I don't even know where this is from, but it's called the unintentional racism found in traffic signals. And it's written by some guy named David Kaufman, who makes it very clear that he's black. So he says, a few months ago, I was walking with a friend, she's white, and her daughter and my twin sons. I'd never given a second thought until we reached a crosswalk. Remember, honey, this is the white woman, she said to her daughter as we waited for the light to turn green, we need to wait for the little white man to appear before we can cross the street. Have you ever heard of the guy on the traffic signal described as the little white man, Mark?
That's crazy. I would never have thought of something like that. They're out of their minds.
I know. I don't understand it here. The Federal Highway Administration, okay? This is the guy. The guy went into this and he said that the code, you know, the requirements for a traffic signal called that you have to make the man lunar white, a shade of white with yellow and gray accents that mimics the colors of the moon. In the end, it's not that the walking man is so super duper white. Rather, his true competitive edge is that he's super duper bright. So in other words, Mark, the guy in his own story about the racism of the traffic signal admits it's not about being white. It's about being bright, right?
Yeah. Well, at least you think that, but it's being twisted another way, and that's what's wrong.
Yeah. I mean, talk about, I have never heard anybody refer to the little, I guess you call them hominoids. I've never heard anyone refer to him as the little white man, but there's a whole story here. It takes 5 minutes, according to the thing, to read the story about the little white man. And that's the racism of traffic. How about the fact that he's a man? I mean, shouldn't we do something about that? I mean, we need some women traffic signals, don't we?
I mean, she identified him as a little white man. He looks pretty gender fluid to me.
Yeah, he does. He may be cis. Who knows what he is? He could be a spirit fluid.
We don't know what these little moon men from the moon are if they have sexes.
Oh Lord. 844-500-4242. Meanwhile, Patches Kennedy's wife won her primary in New Jersey and will face Jeff Van Drew. He's the former Democrat who switched over to the Republican Party. Amy Kennedy, she beat an even more radical nut in the Democrat primary down in that district in New Jersey. Go Van Drew. Just what the country needs is another Kennedy, even a Kennedy by marriage in Congress. 844-500-4242. Laurie, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Laurie.
Hey, Howie. Thanks for taking my call. I live in New Hampshire, and I'm 57. I've pretty much been known as a woman who speaks her mind, and I would like to know when stupid became so popular.
Well, they would say it's not stupid, Laurie. It's woke, okay?
Well, today I believe I saw on my Facebook feed, so I'm certain I can't really hold it true to the test, but I'm pretty certain I saw that irregardless was entered into the Merriam-Webster dictionary.
Yeah, that came out a couple of days ago.
So, yeah, stupid it is. Stupid it is.
They're going with the flow, Laurie. Come on. People say irregardless,
Harley,
so they...
All that I can say is, and then I look at them and I say supposedly, right? It just makes my skin crawl.
Yeah. How about when they say, sometimes people say it's a mute point? No, if it's a mute point, that means it doesn't talk. It's a moot point.
I can't hear you. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, what I'd like to know is there's just no way to win. Everything is so politically correct, we can't even speak anymore. It's getting to be, like, it's insane. I just can't take much more of it.
You remember Brian Williams on MSNBC a couple of nights ago? He heard a whiff, Laurie.
Yes. Well, all that I can say is I am not the most political person in the room. I don't know, like, I'm not super well-read about it. My husband's the political junkie over here. I'm just the person with an incredible decisive mind, and I know, just because I've told my children, go with your gut and the hair that stands up on the back of your neck. Why can't we live like that anymore? Why can't we just be decent human beings, speak our minds and go with intention. Intention, actions that follow intention.
Laurie, whatever happened to live and let live? You know, I thought that was one of the hallmarks. It's not in the Declaration of Independence, but life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness is kind of like live and let live. You pursue your happiness, I pursue my happiness. And as long as we don't get in each other's way, we both do whatever we want to do. And you don't have to cancel anybody out, and you don't have to threaten some 18-year-old high school grad who's just all excited about going to her freshman year in the big city and at Marquette. It's just ridiculous. Thanks for the call, Laurie. Incidentally, the governor of New Jersey, he's had the whole state shut down, obviously. And yesterday they reopened all the motor vehicle registration offices. They used to call them the DMV. Now they call them, I think, the MVC, Motor Vehicle Commission. Same thing. It's the Registry of Motor Vehicles in New Jersey. They opened them up again, and it was a total bleep show. They had promised separate lines. There were no separate lines for people getting their licenses for the first time. People were busting in line. They had to call out the cops. A lot of people that had expired licenses hadn't been able to renew. The state announced, well, you know, the grace period is ending, and you're going to have to get your licenses renewed. So people were rushing this first day yesterday to get their licenses renewed at all these offices. And so there wasn't enough social distancing going on. So according to social media, the cops arrived and started writing citations. People who were trying to avoid getting tickets by getting their licenses and registrations renewed, they rush to the offices and then get tickets for not social distancing. Is this like a police state? Is this must be the way East Germany was. So Phil Murphy, the nitwit governor who presides over the worst death rate in the United States, worse than New York, worse than Connecticut, even worse than Massachusetts. He announces today everybody has to wear masks everywhere to take the heat off him. To take the heat off him, he just ratchets it down a little more. He just grinds his constituents' faces into the dust a little more. And this is a guy who led a protest march after George Floyd killing with no mask on. But now,
your papers, please.
Now he makes it a law for everybody else just to change the subject away from his screwed up reopening of the registries of motor vehicles offices. And this is a guy who let the riots and the looting go on all over New Jersey, but he arrested Orthodox Jews, Hasidic Jews, who were trying to have funerals and wedding receptions. That was against the law, but rioting was okay. Bruce, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, Howie.
Hi.
Yeah, you know, like we have all these light bulbs, they're all white and they shine, you know, white or bright. But back in the old days, we had black lights. And they were really cool. You could tell who had dandruff and who didn't have dandruff. And it just...
You know, you would think, Bruce, with the legalization of marijuana, you'd think black lights would have come back, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I was 16 then. But the whole thing of it is, you know, we had lava lights. We had black lights.
Right.
And color wasn't in the thing. I mean, I have all kinds of black friends. And by saying that, I'm prejudiced. But I have guys that are like my best friends in the whole wide world, and there's no color involved. We're just getting along.
Well, that's not allowed anymore, Bruce. You know, you're engaging in white saviorism, as you just pointed out, by even saying that. It's racist to even say some of my best friends are black. That makes you a colonial oppressor. Thanks for the call. Kiffle, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Kiffle.
How you doing, Howie?
Good.
I thought you would find it ironic. You were talking about the racism in the crosswalk signal.
Yes.
I'm not sure about in Massachusetts, but up here in New Hampshire, every crosswalk you come to, there's a stand-up sign that says yield two, and it does not say pedestrian, but there's always a picture of a pedestrian, and it's always black.
Oh.
So if I follow that man's logic, I guess if I come to the crosswalk and there's a Caucasian or an Asian in the crosswalk, I should run him over. But if it's a black man, I can't because it says yield two.
I think the very verb yield is oppressive, Kiffle, isn't it? Why should anyone yield to anyone else? Right?
Right.
It's a symbol of oppression. Same with stop. Why should anyone stop? We must overthrow this system of oppression, to paraphrase Ilhan Omar. She wants to overturn this system. It's such a terrible system. I guess she likes it. She wishes she was back in Somalia where she was born. Or maybe in that refugee camp in Kenya where she spent her formative years. It's so terrible over here. She's only a congresswoman making $180,000 a year, married to her political consultant, quote unquote, to whom she has funneled $878,000 in the last year and a half. I guess she's really oppressed, giving $878,000 to her husband through her campaign account, and nobody says boo about it. Nobody institutes any kind of investigation. Some tells me if a Republican did that, giving $878,000 out of their campaign funds to their spouse, there might be a bit of a scandal, but nothing with Ilhan Omar. No wonder she wants to overturn the entire system. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's New England's talk radio king. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, this is Val from Longmeadow, Mass.
Hi, this is Tony and Pietra from Havel, Massachusetts.
This is Murnie in Fairfax County, Virginia, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Lonnie knows I believe this every fiber of my being. We're posed. What I propose is it can be done. I think we're in a position to really make it happen. And my team and your team are already working closely together to light up the path forward here. Critical laws like the PRO Act to strengthen collective bargaining. On politics like prevailing and... Look, I guess I'm taking too much time, but...
We're posed? Posed? Who posed them? Is there a set designer?
The same people that...
Photographer
that
posed them?
The same people that texted him. Posed him.
We're posed. Incidentally, the state passed a grim milestone today. More than 8,000 deaths. Of course, they're not calling it a grim milestone because Charlie Baker is on team lockdown, so he gets a pass. On this, 30 more deaths today. Of the deaths in Massachusetts, 27 occurred in the nursing homes that were supposed to be regulated by Charlie Parker et al. 844-500-4242. Let's play Cut 17. We've played it before, but this is just showing you that he keeps talking about testing and how important it is. Now he's admitting today that the testing is more about, well, listen to what he says, cut 17.
It will also provide people with a certain sense of comfort if they do believe that they may have been exposed or otherwise believe they need to be tested.
A certain sense, how does it give you a certain sense of comfort to know that you tested positive if you're asymptomatic? That means you're not sick if you're asymptomatic. So how does that give you comfort? And if you don't test positive, what the hell does that mean? Play cut 16.
The goal of this initiative is to provide widespread asymptomatic testing in an easy to access location within these communities. Increased testing within these communities will help to identify new cases of COVID-19 and help stop community transmission.
How? It's like giving away free coffee on the Massachusetts Turnpike on Thanksgiving Eve. 844-500-4242. Bill, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Howie. Yeah. Yeah, Biden's a poser, all right.
Hey, yes, he is.
Hey, I got family in Jersey. That's where I'm from. And they were talking about this debacle with Governor Cornteeth, as my sister calls him. We had friends that they were in line over 24 hours. The line went around the building and down the highway. People waiting to try to get in. But here's the kicker. So they gave the, I guess they just opened back up, but they gave these people who've been off for who knows how long, I forget how many days of COVID, whatever, 3 days off, and told them they had to use it up by the end of July. So what do you think they did?
So they were understaffed. They were understaffed.
Exactly. Add to that the fact that Governor Christie, when he was governor, had instituted mandatory cross-training. So people had to know how to do multiple jobs. So nobody's there, you can fill over here.
Yeah.
Murphy eliminated that. So of the few people that were there working, they couldn't do other jobs where people weren't there. So everything just came to an absolute standstill. They said it was a nightmare.
Well, I'm sure the union, that's the way the union wanted it, right?
So, oh, absolutely.
That's how he was elected. I'm going to, Governor Christie, he was a rhino, but at least he, occasionally put his foot down with the union. So if you elect me, you don't have to worry anymore about this. People were, there was a wife of a reporter for the NJ.com, New Jersey, the Newark paper. And she took her daughter to get the license, her first license at age 17. And she said there were people, the workers were complaining and saying, I can't believe I'm not getting a break here. It's almost time for my lunch. And again, as Bill says, the line was around the block and it stretched around and around. They didn't care. Thanks, Governor Murphy. Needham's proud of you. I'm Howie Carr.